Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Donna Kaufman back with us, journalist, author, specializes in true crime, covering major homicides, missing persons. She writes books with Dr. Cyril Wecht, one of the best-known medical pathologists of all time. Their fourth book is out now. It's called The JFK Assassination Dissected, an analysis by forensic pathologist Cyril Wecht. And Donna, welcome back. How are you? Hope everything is well.
Oh, George, it's so good to hear your voice again talk to you. Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to this. This is a great... And Cyril, by the way, is a great guy, isn't he?
Yeah. If only he had come out of his shell, right? He is just so full of energy and so full of facts and information. We began this book probably 6 years ago, and it's just because he was telling me all these stories, and I thought, you know, this has to go into a book. Typically, our books are 4 to 7 cases because he has, as a forensic pathologist and / lawyer, done autopsies on 21,000 plus people and has consulted on another 41,000 plus cases. So I have a full reign to choose the twistiest, craziest cases we can find and make them all different. And that's what our three books have been. Prior to this, we had one come out during the summer. But this is our first one-case book, and it's Cyril's Great White Whale. This is his Moby Dick, because he's been on this case of JFK, which we know now 58 years ago, yesterday. What happened in Dallas still haunts Cyril Wecht, still haunts me. I was a kid. I remember it well. And still haunts America and the world.
It does, Don. I got to tell you, I was 13 years old, and my teacher came into our English class, Miss Leonard, who I had on the program a couple of years ago. She was sobbing. Nobody knew why. And she told us the president had been killed. And we're 13 years old. It's not registering. It's not hitting us. Until I went home and saw my father and mother sobbing as well, it really affected them. And then they were watching, of course, CBS with Walter Cronkite.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
That moment where Cronkite had some silence, he had taken off his glasses. He was trying to compose himself. He was just about ready to cry. I'll never forget that, Donna.
Oh, me neither. I've never seen that before. And now, of course, things are different and people are more emotional. But he was a friend of JFK, and he was the person that we all got our news from. He was ne plus ultra of reporters, and this hit him hard. He was in New York, and his reporters on the in the field at that day included Dan Rather, and they were all in Texas, in Dallas, Texas, telling him what was happening. And one of the radio reporters was saying the president's dead, and Walter Cronkite didn't want to hear it. He wanted confirmation from another source before he would report it. This is all in our book. We describe all of this. It was a very emotional time for him and for the country. We all wept. We all remember where we were, what we were doing. And then the same thing happened 5 years later with Robert Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy.
Yep.
And,
yep.
your last guest is in our book because he's taken a really brave stand against most of his siblings to stand out and say that the Robert Kennedy case was botched and that Sirhan deserves to be set free, which may happen. We'll find out soon. And that his father always felt that the JFK case was also botched. So, you know, thank you, Robert Kennedy Jr., for saying that.
There's no question something strange happened. I had William Pepper on our program a couple of years ago, the attorney for Sirhan.
Yep.
And he claims that Sirhan was there. He was a Manchurian candidate.
Right.
Has no recollection of what was happening. Somebody, he thinks, hypnotized him, programmed him, but he said he wasn't the one who actually shot Robert Kennedy. It was someone else. And, of course, Robert Kennedy Jr. went on to explain that he believes the security guard shot his father.
Yes.
But I just don't understand, Donna, why these cases don't get followed up. You know, if somebody kills a neighbor, cops are all over the place doing
exactly
what they should do. But, in you know, the president's been shot or a senator's been shot, and they seem to just hide it. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, they hide it to the extent that they can. And when they have people question authority, someone like Cyril Wecht, they call him the conspiratist, as if that's a bad thing. You know, he's un-American. He's questioning what they're telling us. Well, this book that we have comes from a medical forensic point of view, and it's very credible. You don't have someone like Cyril Wecht who's going to mischaracterize the evidence. And in the Robert Kennedy case, Sirhan shot all the bullets in his gun. He had 8 bullets in his gun, and they hit 5 different people, but he was never closer to Robert Kennedy. And by the way, all those 5 people suffered injuries but survived.
Right.
But Sirhan was never closer than 1 to 3 feet to Kennedy's left front side. And the coup de grace blow that killed the senator came from 1 to 2.5 inches behind his right ear.
What I want to know from Sirhan is who hypnotized him.
Also in our book.
Where did they find him? How did they recruit him? And I know,
very interesting. It's all very interesting, and he can't answer it because the programming is so competent that he still doesn't know. The reason every 5 years he'd come up for parole, and this is in August, he had his 16th parole hearing, and generally the prosecutors would say, "Are you going to tell us what happened? Are you going to be remorseful?" And he would say each time, "I don't know what happened." But there's a new district attorney in Los Angeles, and that guy, George Gascon, says, okay, all prosecutors' work ends at a conviction, so you're not to go to any more parole hearings. So this time, there was nobody to stop him, and the parole board recommended that he be released. The governor, Gavin Newsom, got the paperwork. It has 3 months from August 27th, I think, to determine whether he's going to
set
him free or not.
It's coming up, isn't it?
It's coming up any day now.
Any idea what the governor's going to do?
Well, except for Robert Kennedy Jr., everyone else, all of his other siblings and his mother, strongly...
They're against the parole.
Sirhan staying in jail.
Yeah.
So, and why do they do that? Most of them are attorneys, but they don't look at the forensic evidence. All they keep saying is, Well, we lost our father. It was a tragedy. Yeah, no one's arguing that.
Exactly.
But how can you say that someone standing to 3 feet and to your dad's left fired the shot that killed him? And there were four shots into Kennedy, and they all came from behind, which is where that CIA-linked security guard was standing. And that guy was never arrested. He died shortly, a few months back. But he was never barely questioned. He had a hinky story about what happened to his gun. This is why, and when Sirhan went on trial, his own attorneys kind of betrayed him, and he did not get the kind of fair trial that would happen to anybody
right.
if they were a normal
his original
case.
His original attorneys, not Bill Pepper.
No, not Bill Pepper. His original attorneys, and it was absurd. They had Thomas Noguchi, who was then the coroner of Los Angeles. They tried to say, oh, well, he was 3 inches from in front of him. No, 3 feet. And they said, no, you can change it. I'm not going to change it. So, I mean, it was a concoction. And they hoped that they would get away with it, and they did. And maybe now we will see Sirhan free. Bobby Jr. went to the prison and met with Sirhan.
Yes,
and
he said that.
So that was very interesting.
Producer Tom has been in touch with Sirhan's brother. Because
right.
I wanted to go to the prison to interview him a couple of years ago, and we've been working on that. So maybe if he gets out, we'll have him on the program. That would be intriguing to be sure. But I'd love to. I guess he can't even remember who recruited him.
No, he can't remember anything. I mean, it's amazing that this kind of powerful brainwashing is still intact all these years, 53 years later. But he was really fixed in a permanent way.
But anyways, go ahead, Donna.
Let's get him free, and then let's try to deprogram him and see what happens.
I'm under hypnosis, see what would happen again. That's right. Anyways, back to JFK in that situation, of course. I'm convinced that this was a mob hit, that the people we've talked to and interviewed over the years have convinced me that Carlos Marcello and Sante Trafficante were involved heavily in John F. Kennedy's assassination because of, sadly, Bobby's work to try to get the mob.
Right, because heretofore, J. Edgar Hoover, who was in charge of the FBI, kept saying, there's no mafia, there's no mob problem.
Right.
Meanwhile, he was hanging out with him at the...
At the racetracks.
At the racetrack and making sure he won. And it wasn't until Bobby became attorney general that he started really cracking down. They didn't like that. But the mobsters did not have the means of organizing this hit. That was an intelligence agency. Now, they did serve a purpose. They were soldiers in the war against the Kennedys.
Here's the other thing, though. The mob knew the CIA people
right. Because
they were recruited to try to do Castro in.
Exactly. But also, this was not a Castro thing. It wasn't a Russian thing. It was high intelligence with the military abetting and making it because there's the lead up to the assassination and the assassination. Then there's the years of cover up. So only the government had the strong arm, the long arm, to arrange those things.
Absolutely. Donna Kaufman with us. Her latest book is called The JFK Assassination Dissected, an analysis by forensic pathologist Cyril Wecht. How did you and Cyril hook up for all these four books?
Well, I was a reporter for the American media, and I would attend, and I only worked on crime stories, homicide stories, and kidnappings, and that kind of thing. So to make my stories more credible, I decided to start attending the American Academy of Forensic Sciences, which has annual conferences. And it was there that I became friends with, and this is before there was CSI on television and Criminal Minds. So the people who were doing the actual work were only too happy to sit down and talk to me and give some ink and interviews to promote this crime-solving ability they had. And I was like a kid in a candy shop. You know, I just couldn't get enough of it brought out my inner Nancy Drew. So Cyril was one of the people that I spoke to. And then when I worked on so many cases, from JonBenet Ramsey to Lacey Peterson, so many high-profile murder cases, I would call Cyril and we would talk about the forensic aspects of these cases. So we became friendly then, and then decided to start writing books. And some of the cases were his cases, some were our cases, some were my cases that I brought him into. Our first book is about Anna Nicole Smith and her son's deaths, and Cyril worked on both of those cases, and that's called A Question of Murder. And the final chapter in that is about this doctor during Hurricane Katrina, who involuntarily euthanized 32 patients.
Oh my God!
And got away with it.
I remember
and now
that.
Making a miniseries about her as if she's a hero. It's absolutely repulsive.
Cyril wrote a book with a friend of mine who writes for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Charlie Bosworth Jr. They wrote a book called "Who Killed JonBenet Ramsey?"
It's a wonderful book. It's the book to read on that case. Yes.
A lot of strange cases out there, Donna, aren't there? My God.
I know. But you know what? I love them, and you never finish with a case. Yeah, our second book is From Crime Scene to Courtroom, and our third is Final Exams, and that has four really riveting cases. And just because it's in a book and someone's in jail and you wash your hands of the case, no, guess what? Things happen. People get out of jail.
That's the one I think you were on 2 years ago with me.
Yes, exactly. And we had to update it because all four of those cases changed. So we're now with a publisher. It's been republished with McFarland Books, and McFarland is the same company that is doing the JFK Assassination Dissected.
Perfect.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.